When I was in my teens, a cousin of my grandfather came to live with us in Jersey, where I grew up. He was an Oxford man of the old school, a historian, a scholar, a man of letters. He'd lived in Burma most of his life. He had a Burmese wife, and he'd expected to die there. But then there was a military coup. A nationalist government took over and forced all foreigners to leave. And so he ended up coming to Jersey with his wife and a lot of books, a lot of records. His sister, who'd spent a lot of time in America and was quite a bit wealthier than him, arranged to have a library built where our pigsties had once stood. So the pigsties were demolished and a library was built, and this man, Gordon, would sit in his library, studying his books, listening to his records, and having people coming to visit him quite regularly, other scholars and people with who shared his interests. And he'd work away there, and I'd go in and chat with him from time to time. When I went to university and started to develop an interest in Eastern religion, and especially in Buddhism, he gave me a book. He obviously had quite a strong interest in Buddhism. There was a painting of the Buddha hanging in his library, painted on bamboo, that he'd been given just before he left Burma. He gave me a book, and that book was Nyanamoli's Life of the Buddha. That's this book here. And for almost 10 years, that book was hardly opened. And then in 1979, I moved to Norwich and began my involvement with the FWBO. And early in 1980, I went on my first solitary retreat. And I took this book with me. Actually, it wasn't exactly this book. The original that Gordon gave me was stolen in Estonia from a car when I went to look at a frozen waterfall on my way back from a retreat. But someone very kindly gave me this copy to replace that much-loved copy that was lost. So on this solitary retreat, I read through this book, Nyanamoli's Life of the Buddha, which is an anthology of stories, extracts from the Pali Canon, put together by Nyanamoli, who was an English Buddhist monk who went to Sri Lanka after the Second World War and spent many years there. So I'd read accounts of the life of the Buddha before, but it always seemed very distant, it always seemed a bit abstract. But now suddenly, reading the extracts from the Pali Canon that Nyanamoli had very skillfully put together, it all came very real, it all became very close. And for the very first time, I had a vivid sense of a human being wandering the highways and byways of ancient India, living now in the jungle, far from anyone, now near a village, now in one of the teeming cities of northern India at that time. There were stories of meetings with kings, with beggars, with philosophers, with farmers, with housewives and courtesans, with murderers and holy men. And I had this real sense of a human being who ate and slept and got sick and grew old, whilst in the way he lived, in the way he spoke and taught, even in the way he walked, communicated something quite extraordinary, quite remarkable. And over the years, I've returned to Nyanamoli's anthology again and again. But more than that, through this book, I gained an entrance to the whole world of the Pali Canon, which until then had seemed rather daunting, perhaps because of the repetitious language of the oral tradition, perhaps because of the rather biblical language that many of the early translators used to use. You know, they seemed to think, well, it's a scripture, we must use biblical language. So they used to use the language of the authorized version or the St. James version of the Bible, you know, rather than putting their translations into contemporary English. So, for whatever reason, I just not found those translations very accessible. But reading the stories, the extracts from the Pali Canon on that solitary retreat, something clicked, something shifted, and it was as if I was able to see through what had previously put me off and begin to recognise the richness and beauty of this great treasury of teachings and stories that lay in the Pali Canon.